Today's episode is a little bit of a deviation from our irregularly scheduled programming. I sat down with Nadine McNeil to discuss the aftermath of Hurricane Melissa in Jamaica. Nadine is on the ground running relief efforts, and I implore you to donate and spread the word about the recovery efforts that are needed in the region. I've linked Nadine's website and page that has more information on how you can donate and support her efforts. Her Instagram handle is @UniversalEmpress. You can also go to allhandsja.org to donate directly. The COLO organization is proud to be partnering with Nadine and All Hands to aid in these relief efforts. All the links are in the show description. On to the show.
Wow. Okay. So my name is Nadine McNeil. I am coming to you from Montego Bay, Jamaica, where I am based when I am in Jamaica. I was born and raised in Jamaica, and I lived here until I was 16. I left Jamaica, went to school in Canada and the United States, and then I joined the United Nations, where I spent 23 years mainly doing emergency response and logistics. And if there's a hot spot in this world, you name it, I have been there. From Desert Storm to Sudan to Indonesia to Haiti to Europe. In fact, Donitza and I met in Europe while I was working on chemical disarmament. So that's kind of me in a nutshell. Who I am now is an independent consultant who has, so let me backtrack a bit. So I entered the world of health and wellness when I had my own burnout while doing an emergency response in Indonesia to an earthquake in 2006. And so one thing led to another. I started down the path of yoga and mindfulness. I finally decided to take a deep dive in 2015. And since 2015, I've been living in Bali, working at Yoga Barn in Ubud, Bali, one of the largest wellness places in the world. Ubud is kind of like the mecca of wellness. Mm-hmm. And so the pandemic came around, and that killed the whole wellness business in Bali. My father had recently passed away, and I returned to Jamaica at the end of 2020 to settle his estate. What should have been 3 months turned into 5 years, during which time my mother also passed away. And it's very interesting how Melissa has arrived and impacted me on a personal level, because I was actually in the throes of doing what I call a reset, merging the emergency response, taking the wellness world mainstream, because that's where we can affect change. And so here we are, this opportunity in the land where I'm born, where there is so much trauma at the moment, so much displacement, et cetera. It's like all of me is being commanded to show up and be present.
Wow. That is quite an interesting, my brain is like, they seem very different, what you've done with the UN and the relief work, and then now this health and wellness. But to me, it also makes sense of how to combine these, because I think it's so impactful. And that also like kind of bridges to my second question is, you did send me a video of a woman setting up to do a meditation and a mindfulness session. And so Can you kind of tell me like what is being done to help people with mindfulness and wellness in this emergency response? Like, what are the kind of the things that you guys are doing?
Well, what I would say, Anna, starting from the very beginning is, in fact, I did a post, which I haven't posted yet, taking care of the caregivers. And I'm going back to go forward. As you just said, my two worlds seem polar opposites, but actually they're not. If what I offer to the world today was available when I chose to leave the UN, I may still be there. Organizations, when you have people working in high stress, high trauma conditions, high levels of uncertainty, they are required to perform and show up for the beneficiaries. The impact on them is huge. So the first thing I'm saying to all of us as caregivers, We have to put gas mask on self first before assisting others, including children. So I've been doing that with myself. I have been doing it with anyone that I just meet on the street, you know. I see a mother, she's stressed out. I put my hands on her shoulders, I give her a massage. Explaining the elements of how the breath is beneficial, how they can ground themselves, letting them know that feelings of anxiety are normal. There's nothing wrong with them. Something as simply giving yourself a hug and squeezing yourself calms down your central nervous system. If you start to get ahead of yourself, if you put your 2 feet on the ground and just take a moment and orient yourself in the space, it brings you back to present. The yoga community here in Jamaica, or the wellness community, we have not yet had a chance to formally gather. But these are some of the things that we're doing. We have children that are out of school and have been displaced. I mean, the spans and of work is enormous. So that's what's happening for now. The woman who was there, Marianne Johnson, heading up Healing Horizons, that was what she was attempting to do. And we have to start small because the whole theme and issue of mindfulness is an uncommon phenomenon in the Jamaican culture. So there are two things that are happening. You're introducing someone to something new while they're traumatized, and also having to let them know this is safe and how it works, and tying it back to an element that they can relate to.
Yeah, how has the response sort of been from the people you're working with who are like coming into these sessions? How are they responding to this work you're doing?
They're very receptive. They're incredibly receptive because, you know, a lot of the people that are most impacted are in deeply rural areas. They're completely landlocked. They're kind of, as messed up as it is to say, the forgotten ones or collateral damage. Now, I'm not saying that, I hasten to add, it's not that we've decided to say, you know what, forget about those people, but just the way life is unfolding, no one is hearing their story. So the mere fact that people are bearing witness to them and people are coming to help them gives them a sense of hope. And ultimately, that's what we're doing when we show up, is giving a sense of hope. And Jamaicans are very resilient people, and we're also very proud people. So we really don't want too much of a hand. We're not good at taking help, including self. You know, so they're being receptive. They're deeply, deeply, deeply grateful.
That's amazing, and the segues in this interview are so great for me. It's happening so naturally. So a little bit about me. I work in like narratives and folklore, and I'm specifically studying narratives that appear after tragedy. And I'm
Oh, wow.
yeah, that's my dissertation. It's specifically in political terror, in war-based sort of trauma that happens. But I was reading an article last night, a little bit in preparation for this, about some of the legends and stories that appeared after Hurricane Katrina, because I there at least in America, there were two different narratives that were happening. There were the narratives of the people who were there and bared witness and were affected by the hurricane, and then there was the narrative of the media, which was very different and portrayed the people of New Orleans as criminals, as you know, they kind of deserved this natural disaster. And so that's kind of my question is, like, as someone who is bearing witness, who has unfortunately had to be a part of this hurricane, of this natural disaster, what stories do you want people to know that might not be heard?
That's a very, very good question. The one story I'd love everyone to hear, Anna, is that every single person has been impacted. And when you look at social media and the news, and it's telling you all of this aid that is coming through. Yesterday, I was with an NGO. I love the name of it, Humanity Over Vanity. And the founder, Donisha Pendergrass, said something very poignant. She says, look, it's not aid people want. People want water, they want food, they want nails, they want zinc, they want practical, tangible things so that they can get their lives back together. As I said earlier on, just with in terms of us being a resilient set of people, I met a couple yesterday that are living in this shelter. The man is a chef and the woman is a pastry chef at a hotel. 33% of Jamaica's income is earned out of tourism. Montego Bay is the tourism capital of Jamaica. So when something like this impacts us, you can see the domino effect. But the point I was making, this couple, they took me and they showed me that they were able to pull all of their kitchen supplies out of the water and the sea. They clean them up. What they now don't know is whether or not they work because they haven't had any electricity. So in that conversation, what came up is volunteers. If we get teams of like electricians helping people to fix their things, the stories I am certainly interested in is stories of hope and resilience. Every single Jamaican is doing something. I mean, who is giving away their clothing? Who is collecting money? Who is sending down food? You know, people have turned their living rooms into distribution centers. There is not a single Jamaican who is not doing something that I can attest to. And so, for people that want to really help, yes, there are the NGOs, and yes, there are concerns about how to get funds through them, but there's an administrative process with that. And while we're waiting on the administrative process, reality is happening on the ground. I heard of two women yesterday who are sitting there with their children who have passed. How do they bury those children? How do we move those children out? Immediately, I share that story on my Instagram, and part of my community then donates. So what I have been doing is I am matching donor to recipient. So if somebody comes to me with a story like that, I speak on the story. If Mary Brown gives me $100 for Joe White, I collect the money and I pass it on. So I know the money is going for what it says, and both people are grateful in the process. Having said that, there is also the channel for corporate, because I have a client, for example, who told me that she donated through her corporate channel at work, and the result was that her company matched her donation, which means that it then went double. You see what I mean? Yeah, I think I went all over the place, but there's a lot of information there.
No, it's all fantastic. And I mean, I had cousins who were affected in the huge Hawaii fires 2 years ago. And I'm from California, so I had friends who were affected in the Los Angeles fires. And it's been now 1 year, 2 years from these fires. And they're still saying, well, the government won't let us go use the housing that they said they were going to provide for us, because it's going through so many channels and all of these things. And I mean, that's American. All the red tape here is obnoxious. So it's great to hear that like the community is kind of coming together, that everybody's doing everything. And that kind of brings me to my next question is like, obviously all of these people are coming together. You know, you're saying every Jamaican person is doing something. How are you guys coming together, like as a community, as sort of as a nation, to move forward and to you know, start recovering from this?
Well, we're a long road to recovery. Having served in Haiti, the Central African Republic, Sudan, Indonesia, all following major disasters, I can tell you that we're a long way out to recovery. But what we're doing is that each person within their individual community is doing their part. For example, on my apartment complex, one incredible neighbor became like the operation center. He had a Starlink, so you know his wife loves to cook, so they had electricity, so we were able to give money, so she made meals. He set up a charging station outside his house. We're now running on generator, so we have various generator cans that we then fill up, and we all contribute. And you know, With every crisis, there's an opportunity. And I am not by any means condoning or endorsing Melissa, but we needed to get back to this. And this is not Jamaica. I think this is humanity at large that, something happens, we react, and then we all go back into our little cocoon. I have to look at myself. I've lived in this complex more or less for 5 years, and I've met more people in the last week than I have in 5 years. That's insane. Excuse me. So it really is bringing the community together. Reggae music, which so many people are touched by reggae music. The musical fraternity has come out strong. Concerts are being held. Two of the leads that came out initially as things happened, Shaggy, Sean Paul. Shaggy would come out. Shaggy, and I'm by no means comparing myself to Shaggy, but let us remember, Shaggy has a military background. So for him to galvanize and organize is not difficult. It runs in his DNA, and he has the gift of music. And he has a Rolodex with some pretty impressive people. So he's tapping into that. You see what I'm saying? I think all of us need to look at, a lot of the work that I do, I'm going off on a tangent, but I'm coming back, is why are we on the planet? What gets us out of bed in the morning? And if you can hook your train to something like that, when we're dealing with something like this, it becomes unstoppable. In my work of running retreats, my mind frame right now is not about running retreats and serving green juices, while there is value to that. What I'm concerned about is how do I show up in the land of my birth that has given me so much when I have so much of the talent that's required now? So that's what I'm doing.
And that's, I mean, back to like the bridging of like your polar opposites, like that's, again, not condoning Melissa, but like such a unique moment for those to come together in this way. And seeing how, like, it's bringing people together. Tragedy, unfortunately, does that. But I think it's a beautiful presentation of humanity when
It
we
is.
can come together like this.
It is. I've been looking. I don't know if you did this by accident or design, but your sweatshirt has the Jamaican colors on it. Are you aware of that?
I did not do that purposefully. I grabbed what was on top of my clean laundry basket.
Green, yellow, and black. So thank you for representing, my darling.
Thank you. I'm glad that this happened. This was totally purposeful. I definitely meant to do this.
Wow.
I only have like one more question, which is, how can the people of the world help? What do you need in terms of resources? What do you need in terms of awareness? How can the people who are going to see this interview, who are going to see the videos, and how can they help?
Wow, thank you for asking that. I am deeply grateful for that. One of the questions that we keep getting, or I certainly keep getting, is what are reputable NGOs and places that you can donate to? There are a whole range of them. How people watching this video can support, there are a few elements. There is a website called All Hands JA. I am one of the founders of that, and I'll send you those links. And All Hands JA does two things. We have partnered with a shop in Jamaica, a haberdashery that sells everything from food to generators, where if someone wants to buy things, items itself, they can go onto the website, they can purchase the items, they can put for All Hands Jamaica, attention Nadine McNeil, and I will get it to the particular cause that it needs to. The other way, if people want to do donations, is my mentor, my sister, my dear friend, and I'm an advisor on the COLO, Women's Cross-Cultural Collaboration. The COLO will be accepting donations on our behalf, and then the COLO will be funneling those donations to us. In terms of supporting volunteers on the ground, including myself, There are ways that people can donate if people feel so moved. And I want to say, Anna, I've been very, what is the word I'm looking for? Reticent is not the right word. I look at what's happening out there and I go, my community, I won't die of hunger. I will be okay. But this is purely voluntary. So, there's petrol that needs to go into a car, there are bills that need to be paid, etc. If people want to donate in that regard, I do have a Zelle account. People can reach out. And one of the things I actually want to set up is a volunteer fund for the people that I am specifically working with. So that's in the works as well. So those are many ways that people can donate. Or the ways that I know, and I take responsibility for those ways, and I am prepared to be held accountable for those ways.
Thank you all for listening to today's special episode of Memory in Motion. If you are able to donate, you can check out the links in the show description. To follow along for more recent updates on Nadine's efforts, you can follow her at Universal Empress on Instagram. We are setting up a new schedule for regular updates on this podcast. New episodes will be coming out monthly, and I have a very exciting lineup of guests who will be joining me. Stay tuned and make sure to follow for updates. As usual, I've been your host, Anna Engel. You can follow me at RaccoonLady98 on Instagram and TikTok. Till next time.